we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with an apology from The Fleet, the magazine of Collingham and District Nottinghamshire, read by Harriet Cass.
Apologies are due to Samantha and Peter Taylor for giving the impression that they had cannibalistic tendencies and were eating sour Croats.
And our thanks to Barbara Carver for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Fred McCauley and Joe Brand. And opposite them on my left, Mark Steele and Armando Iannucci. Fred, have a listen to this. That was Blondie with Hanging on the Telephone. And I think we can tell the News Quiz is going to get off to a tasteful start for 2007.
I didn't know it was going to be this personal. This is obviously about me losing my BT landline on Hogmanay.
Well, no, Fred. Now, how can I put this? Whose mobile really shouldn't have been switched on while he was at work?
I am led to believe that there has been an international hanging. And I say led to believe because I haven't actually seen it myself. I have read about it. I read Boris Johnson in the Telegraph, who said that he had seen it. And it's shocking that I should sit here and tell you that I've read the Telegraph. But I was 50 last week, and it suddenly feels right to do things.
It's when your arms are suddenly big enough to take that big paper, isn't it?
But I can't hold it up for long. Because I have to put it down to go to the loo,
yes.
Obviously.
I saw
that much on the television, where the execution was meant to take place in a dignified manner, and it looked like it was going to be done in such a way, and then it stopped. But I gather that somebody had a mobile phone and filmed the whole thing, and it is on the internet. But, you know, and it is one of these things that everybody has to make a kind of moral decision about. Do you have a look? And I haven't, because as I said, my BT phone lines are down.
But it's quite interesting to say it was undignified, because obviously we all watch very dignified executions all the time.
There was certainly Come Execute would be a good program.
Celebrity Execution, I think I would watch. I think that would be.
Who's going to hang tonight? UDC.
Presumably now that Saddam's dead, the whole Iraq problem's over, everybody can go home. Have I understood?
Well, it's not when they caught him in this hole, wasn't it? And they sort of, they said, that's it, you see, because now he was masterminding all the insurgents, Saddam, from his little hole. He was doing it. How could he? And he was all scabby, wasn't he, with his teeth falling out and all boils over him and his hair falling out, looking like an old tramp. If he was masterminding all the insurgency at that point, they must have been coming back from meeting him and saying, our leader has issued us new instructions. He said,
Fred and I can decipher that.
So you want us to go and do that now, Master?
In one of the obituaries, I don't know if this was common knowledge, I'd never seen this before, but in one of the obituaries, it said that in his youth, Saddam was a ticket collector on the Tikrit to Baghdad bus route. And you thought, God, you wouldn't want to be two stops past your travel zone on that bus.
Well, indeed, the Iraqi government has launched an inquiry to find out who taunted Saddam on the gallows and used a mobile to record the dictator's hanging. Guards collecting Saddam's belongings were surprised to find a hollowed-out book containing some snuff, a bar of chocolate, and weapons of mass destruction. So 2 points there to Fred. Joe, who gave us the benefit of his Miami advice?
Not one of the Bee Gees, was it?
Well, you're in the right area.
Is it Mr. Tony? Well, is this his kind of New Year's thing?
Yeah.
Speech? Where he basically said, I'm having a lovely holiday, the wife's having her hair done at the taxpayer's expense every day, and we've got a house worth millions in central London, so... Was it that speech?
I think that pretty much covers it, actually, yeah.
Prescott was on the radio being interviewed about this, and it was astonishing, even by his own Prescottian standards. He was utterly astonishing, because he was so full of sort of, well, that's typical, that is. Yeah, well, that's what you would say at the BBC, even before they'd said anything. And then... And then at one point, the interviewer said, well, Mr. Blair, of course, has been at a pop star's holiday mansion this Christmas. And Prescott just jumped in, and he said, yes, well, yes, at the BBC, I have to say, that is factually correct.
Yes, in his 10th and hopefully final New Year message, the Prime Minister made an impassioned plea for his party not to abandon new Labour core values, in case you've forgotten what they are. Free holidays, cash for peerages, running down public services, charging you more for them, moving the country further to the right than Prince Philip could ever have dreamed of. and so on.
Has this been an annual thing? He's done 10 of these, Blair, has he?
He has.
On New Year's Day.
Oh, yeah, and then he always goes off to the Bee Gees or Cliff Richard or something. Actually, I was thinking that their address book is very like my grandmother's record collection.
we always have a lunch on New Year's Day. We always like to have the lunch finished over just in time for the Blair New Year address.
Oh.
This is a traditional thing.
Well, the traditional thing in my house is we get up on the 3rd of January. And explain to the kids that you missed these 2 days out because of the solstice.
2 points to Joe. Armando, who has decided that education is back, and this time it's personal?
This is yet another reorganisation of the education system, whereby it's being recommended that clever children are taught more to stretch them, and even given positions of responsibility, maybe teaching others who require a bit more help in the class, maybe some of them being appointed deputy headmaster. It's tailoring the class teaching to fit the pupil.
Is that part of all this sort of middle class idea that sort of, oh, because they all think their kids are geniuses, don't they? And go, oh, we've already put Ocelot down for special tuition for music because we know he's going to be a musical genius. He hasn't even been born yet, but you can tell from the way he kicks that he's going to play the violin.
Well, I did a benefit for a nursery in Dulwich, which is quite a posh area of South East London. I got this very ranty email from this guy saying, how dare you raise money for these already posh, rich people? And I did point out to him that they have all got to have cellos, you know.
Yeah.
It's important. I don't think you realise, Mark, it's important.
It was in Dulwich that I saw the best piece of graffiti that I've ever seen, which was at the start of the Gulf War. And it just was somebody had written very neatly on the wall, war is very naughty.
And they make the parents go in and run classes. I had to go in and talk to a class of 5-year-olds about being a stand-up comedian.
Did you get hit?
You're off.
A brilliant question from this little boy. He said, do you change colour when you go on stage? Because he thought I was a stand-up chameleon. He really did. So he needs educating.
The government commissioned Gilbert Review has recommended personalised learning. The Gilbert Report also recommends that a group be set up to review urgently how the national curriculum should develop, and I love this, because the findings of the group set up to review education is that a group should be set up to review education. Anyway, that's 2 points to Armando, and we move on to Mark. Who, Mark, is proposing a workers' flag of deepest blue?
Oh, look, I've read all the papers every day.
I'm going to help you.
It might be Cameron.
It might be blue. Blue is usually a clue. Yeah.
Tories are for the working class.
I don't know. What's the answer, Armando?
Well, he's seeing that New Labour is very to the right, so he's repositioning the
What's he done this week, though? That's because he's been doing that for a bit.
He's asked all his MPs to speak with a Lancastrian accent. Appeal to the working class. I think that's the sum of it, really.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's tipping the undergardener more handsomely. It's the helping out with the working class.
15 of the shadow cabinet went to Eton.
Yeah, but it wasn't easy. I mean, in David Cameron's last year, it was two boys to a butler. I mean, it was tough.
I think I read that there's a new centre-right party starting up in Scotland.
Is this
Diana Riggs?
Archie Stirling,
yeah.
Oh, I get a point for that. I want a point to my
Do you know what triggered that thought? It was, you said tipping the undergardener, and his daughter was in Tipping the Velvet.
And that's triggered a whole lot of thoughts for me, so we'll move on. Is it hot in here?
Is tipping the undergardener a euphemism for...
Yeah. It's an old Etonian practice.
David Cameron has announced what I think everybody already knew, that he wants the Tories to become the party of the working people. And in fact, it's all changed on the political spectrum. Labour are moving to the right, the Tories are moving to the left, and the Lib Dems are moving to a charming semi in Newport Pagnell. So at the end of round one, the scores are that Fred and Joe have got 4 points, and 1 point behind Mark and Amanda with three. We start round two with a headline from the front page of Prima Magazine's December edition.
463 ways to make Christmas simple.
Thanks to Rob Wicks of Bristol for spotting that. Fred, which teenager was happy to get a record for Christmas?
Is this the wee boy whose parents put him in a boat in Gibraltar in November and told them that his Christmas presents were in Antigua? I know they were very, very cruel. But he's found his way right across the Atlantic, and he's 14 years old. It's fantastic. Well done to him. I think, has he been knighted yet?
Momentarily.
When I was 14... I got my first Saturday job as a sandwich boy in Dino's Cafe in Princess Street in Perth. And Dino told me to go to Kennaway's The Bakers and get more rolls. And I'd lived in Perth for about 4 years. And I got lost in Perth. It took me an hour and a half to find the baker shop and find my way back. And that's really what 14-year-old boys are about, rather than sailing across the Atlantic single-handedly. I mean, I know where that expression comes from, because I know what I was up to when I was 14 years old.
We had plenty of opportunity for that in the Atlantic. When he got into Antigua, he said, I just told you in the boat. I mean, it's a mess. When they met him turning off the boat, didn't they go, what time do you call this?
His dad was within a mile of him. His dad followed him.
Oh.
So, well, what about me? I did it as well. He had a sort of loud hailer. Put your pyjamas on.
Let me just shout him back. Dad, you're embarrassing me. What are the seagulls? If he can do it when he's 14, why was there such a fuss about Ellen MacArthur then? She made a song and dance about it, didn't she? And he done it when he's 14. He wasn't doing all that. Oh, I'm lost. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's raining. There's water everywhere. Just got off and did it. No fuss. She went round the world, though.
Yeah.
Is that further?
Well, 14-year-old Michael Burham from Hertfordshire has become the youngest person to cross the Atlantic single-handedly. And Michael said that he celebrated Christmas by burning flares. which suggests to me that he left England to escape laughter about his wardrobe. Now, 2 points to Fred. Armando, why has the government been embarrassed by some undoctored employment figures?
Losing nurses? Nurses will be laid off? Can't afford more nurses. Can't afford any nurses.
What have they done with all this money then? Because they keep saying they've put all this extra money in, but there's just...
On the call centre, NHS 24. Thank you for calling NHS 24. If you're bleeding from the waist or down below, press 1. If you have something wrong in the head department, press 2. If you're suffering from a drug addiction, press harsh.
A leaked document from the Department of Health predicts that by March 2011 there will be a surplus of 3,200 consultant doctors and a shortage of 14,000 nurses. And apparently the imbalance is already so severe that some consultants haven't had a date in 6 months.
When my daughter was born, after about... She was about 20 minutes old, and we're in this little room, and then the door opened and this woman came in with all this camera equipment around her and said, who are you then? And she said, oh, hello, well, I'm here because you may find that with all the things you need to do today, you won't have the opportunity to take that special photo of that special moment. And so for a small fee, I can take all those lovely photos of your newborn baby. And you won't be surprised to know that even though this was a particularly joyous moment in my life, I said, f*** off.
To say, this is absolutely true. When I was in labour, the door opened similarly to your story, and so I poked the head around and went, can I have your autograph? Bit busy.
Yeah. That person's probably going around and going, you know that Jo Brand in real life? Oh, she's horrible, you know. She's signed, but she's screamed all the way through. Rude.
Mark, have another question. Who is going off the rails about price rises?
Oh, right, everyone should be, because this is a story, I presume, about our the most decrepit, rancid, useless, overcrowded, filthy, incompetent, rubbish excuse for a railway service has now decided that it being three times more expensive than any other rail service in the rest of Europe, which does have the audacity to get its trains roughly in the vicinity of the right station, round about in a time that is apparent and pertinent to the time that it advertises for, is not enough, and it needs to be more like seven times more expensive than in Switzerland or Italy or Greece, because these grubby Europeans that we don't want anything to do with keep getting their trains clean and on time, and we're British and we're not having any of that. Is that the answer? People that own the rails, you know, are so unsafe they'll manage to somehow turn the thing upside down and have a rail-related disaster somehow. Or the people that run the waiting rooms, somehow there'll be 45 people killed in one of them. Why aren't they hung with everyone on their mobiles? No one was appalled today at the hanging of the heads of all the privatised rail companies.
Mark. Last
was the man from Connex South Central.
Mark, is your therapist on holiday?
You know, there's going to be lots of complaints.
And that's because it's hanged, not hung.
You would have thought with a government as right-wing as ours, at least the railways would run properly. rail groups and opposition politicians have attacked above-inflation rises for rail fares. Apparently, passengers travelling from London to Newcastle-upon-Tyne now have to pay £112 for a 288-mile journey. That's 38 pence a mile. And as if that wasn't bad enough, at the end of their journey, they're in Newcastle. I'm going to play live there. And at the end of round two, it's exactly even. Fred and Joe and Mark and Amanda, they've all got 8 points. Before we start round three, here's a cutting from the British Medical Journal.
Most obese adults who have chosen surgery and had complications, including death, have been satisfied with their choice.
And our thanks to Dr. Eric Beck, who sent that in. Fred, why did so many passengers travel light this Christmas?
This was the run-up to Christmas. There
yeah.
was a bit of a P-super governor down mm-hmm. here at London's Heathrow. BA grounded all their planes, and the bags are still there, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think what airlines should do is stop the pretense that they're actually going to take your bags with you. And when you arrive at the airport, they just say, good afternoon, be checked in, any bags, yes, just put them on the pile there and go and catch your flight. And wherever you land, there'll be an equivalent pile of bags from the people on, and you just go and help yourself to one that looks kind of like yours.
It's so like an international version of Deal or No Deal.
Apparently, lots of the bags had Christmas presents in it, which was, you know, bad if you were waiting for a puppy, I think. I don't know if still... a man in a baggage was stranded at Heathrow over Christmas after hundreds of flights were cancelled and bags were sent to the wrong part of the airport. I'm a very nervous flyer. I don't like it at all. And I remember I was flying to Atlanta, Georgia, and the pilot, you know, you don't really listen to the safety announcements. And he came on and he said, and they ran a sudden loss of cabin pressure. I want you to take the oxygen mask. It's going to fall in front of you. And I want you to put the mask to bulge and place it over your mouth and nose. If you have a small child traveling with you, secure their mask before you secure your own. If you're traveling with two small children, decide now which one you love best.
The reason given by Douglas Alexander, the Transport Minister, for the cancellation of domestic flights first by BA was that they cancelled the flights where there was a train service that could take over.
For the rest, the long haul, there was a 14-year-old boy in a boat saying, I can take one.
2 points to Fred. Joe, how would you react if I looked at you blankly whilst pretending to squash a wedge of soft cheese?
Is this to do with the French? Because there's been a drop in tourism from us to France. Aren't they kind of being funny and trying to explain their gestures to us as a bit of a laugh so that we can go over there and communicate gesture-wise. And there's one, for example, called Le Boff. I thought Le Boff was headbutting someone in the World Cup final, but obviously not.
It's Harris, though, isn't it?
It is, it's brilliant, yeah.
But I think they're rude in such a charming way, you sort of let them get away with it, really.
I'm thinking about my one experience of rudeness from the French. Oh, now, this sounds terrible because it sounds very lovely, but I was in Cannes. And I got back to my hotel room at 4 o'clock in the morning because there was a late night party. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, the phone went, and it was a receptionist, a French receptionist, saying, "Your 7 o'clock alarm call." And I said, "I didn't ask for a 7 o'clock alarm call." There was a long pause, and then he went, "Would you like one?"
Actually, the best way to get common Parisian hand gestures is to ask them very sweetly if they're looking forward to the 2012 Olympics. That's
well, except that, as a South Londoner, it's going to be easier for me to get to Paris than it is to Stratford, isn't it?
The Parisian Tourist Board has set up a website to teach Britons the meaning of some common Parisian gestures. Armando, were you one sandwich short of a picnic before 1993 or still mad as a brush?
This is the Oxford English Dictionary asking the public to trace the earliest example of certain phrases, like the full Monty. This is outsourcing, again, isn't it? Yes, the OED wants us to... I once heard Tony Blair use in a speech, "Britain's prepared to go the full Monty on the economy." And I thought, what the hell does that mean? You're going to bring out a coin with Gordon Brown mooning on it. But anyway, we're being asked to trace these back.
It's the origins of 40 well-known words and phrases, including Shaggy Dog Story, Bloody Mary, and Tick the Mickey, that the OED has asked the public to help them trace the origins. Compilers of the dictionary want to speak to teenagers about the new word hoodie. Teenagers want to speak to the compilers about the new word dictionary. I absolutely love dictionaries. And I'm trying to think about my favourite words. There are so many, but I'm very, very fond of mitticism. Do you know what mitticism is? It's the incorrect or excessive use of the letter M. apparently, some of the words are regional. I don't know why I'm looking at you, Fred, but according to the fans of the headbutt, the term Glasgow kiss...
Le Boff.
Has existed long before 1987.
It was a Liverpool kiss, wasn't it, beforehand?
Was it? I didn't know that.
I think they said that there was a Liverpool kiss before the Glasgow kiss, but it had less impact because the curly perm...
Anybody got a favourite word? Favourite words?
Well, I have got a favourite word. It's actually a Japanese word, and to my shame, I've forgotten what it is. But what it means, which is brilliant, is trying out a new sword on a chance passerby. That's a great concept, isn't it?
2 points to Armando. Mark, who's not so chilled out about hibernation this year?
It's not the gay animals.
Well, I don't know. I thought they were keen to hibernate, but no.
Almost as if it was designed for the news quiz, I would have thought, this story involving Martina Navratilova and a gay sheep.
Is this a new film from Aardman?
No, it's this story about this sheep, and scientists have come up with cure, as they say, for gay sheep, because the farmers are complaining because the 1 in 10 of their sheep are gay, and therefore they don't tend to breed. And so,
what are they doing? Are they redecorating the fields? What are they
doing? Exactly. All that wool with those hooves.
I think it's quite good the way you've decided to just answer your own question.
You don't get any points for it, Mark, but you have left me with the most wonderful image that the next time I count sheep, 1 in 10 is going to do jazz hands as you leap over. Anyway, does anybody know the answer to this last question? I'm looking over here.
Hedgehogs have been born too late.
Yeah, absolutely. The mild weather means that some hedgehog litters are being born too late in the year to put on enough weight for hibernating, and the British Hedgehog Preservation Society, isn't that sweet? What a lovely thing. Say that actually baby hedgehogs make ideal pets, or indeed nail brushes. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Fred.
Thank you, Sandy. This is from the Wiltshire Times and Chippenham News. Father Christmas started his rounds early in Westbury this year, but rather than leaving presents, he conned people out of cash on their own doorsteps. The bogus Santa targeted homes wearing a traditional outfit with a collection tin in his hand, claiming to be collecting for charity. However, when he failed to produce any formal identity documents, people became suspicious that this was not the real Santa.
Joe.
This is from the Nottinghamshire something or other, and it's all about a fourfold increase in massage parlours in Notts. And so they spoke to someone called Detective Inspector Ian Winton, head of the Vice Squad, and he said some sex parlours advertise themselves purely as massage parlours. They may well offer massages, but shall we say massages with a happy ending?
Armando.
This has been sent by Stephen Churchett, which is a chapel, really, Churchett. and he spotted this at the BBC News website. Television stars Lionel Blair and Alan Carr have helped save a man about to fall from the end of a Blackpool pier. Dancer Lionel Blair just finished filming a pilot program with comedian Alan Carr when they heard a man was trying to jump from the North Pier. By the time the entertainers reached the end of the pier, the man was holding on by his fingertips. We got there and there was a man clinging on, said Mr. Carr. Picking up the story, Mr. Blair added, we got his hand and said, come on, you don't want to die. You can't do that. Listen to us. He did a double take, but then said, no, I want to go.
Right, this is from Isabel Jackson of Darlington. It was in the Northern Echo. Police suspect foul play after a spate of chicken tipping left two villages overrun by abandoned poultry. With 140 birds suddenly arriving, apparently out of thin air, some villagers were quick to take advantage and rounded up one or two for the pot. But there was a casualty. Farmer Alistair Murray's ageing cockerel, Robert, found the influx of hens too much to deal with and was found dead, presumably from exhaustion. If only he'd been a gay chicken, he'd still be with us.
Let's take a look at the final scores. Mark and Amanda have got 11, but this week's winners are Fred and Joe with 13. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from The Guardian sent in by Matthew Wright.
Hugh Edwards began Tuesday's 10 o'clock news fitted with his poppy, but introduced a report by James Robbins in South Africa, who was bare-suited. Even more confusingly, on Newsnight, Martha Carney was deflowered during her taped report from Westminster.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Fred McCauley, Joe Brand, Armando Iannucci and Mark Steele. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Harriet Hess. The chair's script was written by Simon Littlefield, Roger Crooks and John Finnemore. And the producer was Katie Tyrrell.